Just one passage today from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 18 to 30. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of one who subjected it in hope. But the creation itself will be set free from its enslavement to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning together as it suffers together the pains of labor, and not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what one already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with groanings too deep for words. And God, who searches hearts, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And from those whom he justified, he also glorified. So that passage was assigned to me by Pastor Jeff. But interestingly, those at least middle verses have always been some of my favorite in Scripture. They're quite beautiful, aren't they? I mean, who isn't comforted by a God who speaks for us and prays for us and is even willing to groan and sigh for us? It is, for me, one of the most personal views of God, if you will. In Raymond Carver's short story called A Small Good Thing, the characters face tragedies and know what it means to live with sighs too deep for words. The story is about Scotty, a boy who was hit by a car on his 8th birthday while walking to school. His mother, Anne, had already gone to the local baker to order his birthday cake. At the moment that the cake had been ordered, everything had seemed right in the world of Anne and Howard, Scotty's parents. But everything changes on Monday as Scotty is taken to the hospital and slips deeper and deeper into a coma. The reader of the story is taken in, is drawn in to the pain and the bondage of these parents' agony. Paul, too, felt agony as he speaks with the church in Rome. Although Paul is quick, very quick to assure his listeners of a future glory, he is also fully aware that among his hearers there are groans as well as sighs. Even as Paul wants to reassure them that today's sufferings are not comparable to God's future promised glory, he also knows that there are days that that promise offers little comfort if we're really honest. Paul is, as always, trying to bridge that gap, I think, between the now and the not yet. And he knows from experience that this can be a frustrating and a very heart-wrenching place to be in our lives. He has been there. Even as we know and believe that we are saved through hope, the very idea that we would have patience as we wait for the redemption of other people and ourselves, frankly, I think it seems a little absurd. The idea that we would trust that God is a handle on our present situation of war and poverty and abuse and economic disaster and political division seems idealistic even for the most faithful among us. patience. Give me a break. In the short story I mentioned earlier, there's plenty of hope. The parents of Scotty hope and pray and sigh and groan and cry as they wait to see what will happen to their son. The medical staff at the hospital frantically search for reasons why Scotty is not waking up from this coma, hopeful that they will find the answer and that he will be fine. Then the banker, well, he continues to call the house, hoping the parents will eventually pick up and pay for this special cake that they have ordered. All of the characters in the story may have hope, but we could argue they don't have patience. The parents grow more and more upset and scared and confused about the condition of their son. The doctors and nurses get more and more frustrated that Scotty isn't waking up and they can't figure out what is wrong with him. And the baker grows more and more agitated and belligerent about the cake the parents never pick up. All of the characters struggle to be patient. The truth is, I really struggle to be patient. With the present situation in our world and in my own life. And so do many people I talk with, both inside and outside of the church. I wonder, do you struggle to be patient? It feels overwhelming at times. The present saps us of our energy and our time and our peace because it is the present world that we live in and breathe in and struggle in, is it not? And it is the present world that confronts us each day. It's hard for most of us to consider our afterlife when our present life demands so much of our attention and of our time. So if we can't rise above the present work in our darkest days, then how do we lean on our faith and allow it to accompany us and support us and help us? Because this is one of the reasons I think Paul chooses these words for us today. Paul reminds us that even when we're not feeling very patient, God is still present in that. First and foremost, through his Spirit, God is constantly and consistently patient, walking with us through these dark moments, not just so that we can reach a point of simply hoping for a perfect future life with him, but also so that we can find hope right here, today, in our lives. The Holy Spirit is patient while carrying our burdens, interceding with God on our behalf with groans and sighs too deep for words. Perhaps the most amazing part is the way that the Spirit balances our needs and our desires and our hurt and our anxiety, all with God's will. And you know as well as I do that there is a lot of groaning and sighing in our world. It's hard to remember hope when the longing seems to invade our very being most days. Longing for peace and healing in our own lives. Longing for peace and healing in our communities. Longing for peace and healing in our world. What does hope look like for those of us who long? That's the question. Peter Story, a South African bishop, worked tirelessly to end apartheid in his country. Can you even imagine the difficulty of finding hope in that tumultuous and hostile environment? Bishop Story decided the only way to look at hope in these types of situations was an idea he called the great nevertheless of God. Story said that even while surrounded by the strong-armed agents of repression, he knew that the Holy Spirit was active in that place. The government had all the power. Nevertheless, God was with the poor in South Africa.
the less,
God was there. The South African regime did not hesitate to use force in order to stop rebellion. Nevertheless, Story, along with Desmond Tutu and others, led the black Africans in a peaceful revolution. The odds were heavily against the peaceful revolution. Nevertheless, with God on their side, they were victorious. In the end, there was a strong temptation to retaliate. Nevertheless, God gave them a means of forgiving enemies and forming a reconciled nation. No matter what the odds, the story argued, when God is present, no obstacle can block the great nevertheless of God. Let me say that again. When God is present, no obstacle can block the nevertheless of God. This is the story of God's people. The Israelites were imprisoned in bondage to the Pharaoh. Nevertheless, God brought them out of slavery into freedom. Later, Israel was captured and its leader was taken into exile. Nevertheless, God rescued them and returned them to their home. A lame man lay 30 years by the pool of Siloam waiting for healing. Nevertheless, Jesus healed him and gave him new life. Jesus came with a message of love, calling us to trust God and love each other in new and powerful ways. Then he was executed for this. Nevertheless, Jesus was resurrected. Peter and John and Mary Magdalene and all the other followers were plunged into despair by Jesus' death. Nevertheless, the risen Christ appeared to they went on to spread a new faith across the globe and down through the centuries. See, this passage promises us great hope. It says, we may live in difficult times. In fact, we do. Nevertheless, God is with us, guiding us to a future fulfillment of promise. We do not see the hope that we hold to. Nevertheless, it is the hope that saves us and for which we were given patience to endure. The Spirit is not always as visibly active in the church as we might want. Nevertheless, the Spirit is increasingly attentive to our pleading, even to the point of bringing our prayers home to God when we are unable to articulate them ourselves. We may not know what God has in store for us. Nevertheless, the Spirit knows the mind of God and leads us, draws us toward the will of the one who made us for God's own purpose. We must stand in the middle of our weakness and sadness while proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. That's where we stand, my friends. Raymond Carver's story ends with Scotty's death. But not only that. It also ends with a glimpse of healing and redemption. Scotty's grieving and anger-filled parents go to the baker out of a sheer desire to confront him for the demanding phone calls he has left at their house over the birthday cake they never picked up. The baker, of course, apologizes once he knows what has happened. And then the baker feeds the parents. It's a simple act, really. And as he breaks a rich, dark bread for them to share, he tells them that eating is a small, good thing. In a time of groaning, it is a small, good thing. In a time when sighs are too deep for words, it is a small, good thing. The baker listens to Scotty's parents as they share their story. The parents listen to the baker as he shares his. They each catch a glimpse of a reality beyond the bakery where they are sitting eating this simple meal. What they glimpse is a promise, the promise of Christ. nevertheless of God's Spirit lives and breathes and walks with us, even as we groan and sigh.